The Arab Spring has been called the Facebook revolution, with protesters using social media and cell phones to organize. But the same tools that protesters use to bring down governments can also be used against them. Bloomberg News reports today that Western companies have sold sophisticated surveillance systems to countries like Bahrain, Egypt, Syria, and Yemen that can track what people say and do on the internet or on their cell phones. These systems are part of a $3 billion a year industry that can even scan phone networks for keywords or individual voice prints. And those countries then allegedly use that information to capture and sometimes torture dissidents. One privacy expert calls it push-button autocracy. Vernon Silver investigated this story for Bloomberg News. You can find it at hereandnow.org. He joins us on the line from Rome. And Vernon, could you explain how this technology works?
This is the sort of thing that's evolved over the years. It used to just be phone taps and a guy at a switchboard in the telco building in one of these countries. And in recent years, it's evolved into a whole system of things called monitoring centers. And it's essentially just computers that tap into the phone lines and the data lines. And you've got, in any of these countries, terminals sitting in people's offices, whether it's in the police stations or military intelligence headquarters, and these investigators or spies or what you want to call them, depending on the regime, are paying attention, cataloging, listening, stalking, keeping track of what everybody's doing, whoever they want to in a lot of cases.
The monitoring technology you're describing can be and is used legally, I mean, even in the U.S., but you have found cases in which it's used illegally against protesters. Give us an example of one of the cases you found.
There's a fellow, a school administrator, 39 years old, in Bahrain, who was a rights activist also, and he was arrested, detained for 6 months. And to his surprise, he was confronted by his interrogators with transcripts of his text messages going back even a year before he had been arrested. And they had been keeping track, and they had printed this stuff out, and they showed it to him. And if he didn't answer questions, they took him back down to the cellar two floors below and beat him and locked him up in solitary confinement and did a whole lot of awful things to him, according to his account of what happened. So in this one small, troubled spot of the world, we're able to see from point A to point Z the use of this stuff when, according to rights activists, it crosses the line from lawful to unlawful intercept.
So Vernon Silver of Bloomberg News, you were able to draw the connection between the software sold to this country and the software being used in a questionable way. Now, this, as we mentioned, is a $3 billion a year industry. There's a lot of money to be made. Do you have the sense that some of these companies went ahead and sold these systems to these countries, knowing they might be used in questionable ways, but looked the other way because they wanted to make the sale?
Well, we know that some people at these companies did conclude that this was a problem because Nokia Siemens a couple of years ago decided to divest this business and spin it off as a new company that they have nothing to do with now called Trovacor, which is a German company. And they decided to do this for the most part, they say, because they just didn't have the ability to deal with the ethical human rights implications of what this stuff could do. It was just too hot for them to handle. And one thing that the Arab Spring has done now, that you've seen not only the revolutions, but the revolutions that could never be, and the crackdowns that were very successful, is lots of workers at these companies and former employees are saying they've seen the fingerprints of what they installed being used in a way that isn't lawful interception, but unlawful interception. And they spoke to us, and they're starting to speak out about the power behind this product. These are things that can track where your cell phone is. I mean, the ideas that you hear about the deal in the West about privacy concerns and are debated in Congress and become academic subjects, these are matters, they say, of life and death, of who can overthrow a dictator or not. And there's a lot of power and technology at stake and all intertwined in one.
So you've found companies and employees that are regretful in retrospect. Do they truly not anticipate that it could be used this way?
The human rights advocates say that these people were doing this just to make a buck. You can point to the evolution of the business from voice and data recording to what it evolved to be, and it is this flip side of the power of the new technology, arming people with video phones and the ability to get the word out and to organize in the streets via Facebook. And the fact is that it's an arms race, and as the products have gotten more and more powerful to crack down on the innovation and crack down on the revolutions, the implications of what they were selling are only now coming to light.
What can governments do to try to stop systems from being used this way? Anything?
One thing that the advocates bring up is that there's a problem with the export regime, the sanctions regime, the way that the West, the way that the UN approaches helping people while punishing rogue regimes. The export controls focus on things like weapons, and they focus on sanctions against individuals blocking their bank accounts. And falling in between the cracks, they say, is the idea that technology now can be used as a weapon, and it is a weapon. These monitoring centers don't include software that can build missiles, and they don't include encryption. Therefore, they can be exported pretty much anywhere. And so it's understanding the technology and understanding how to regulate it, they say, that is the challenge now.
Now, this isn't the first time that Western companies have been accused of helping repressive regimes. How far back does this type of activity go?
Corporations, anybody who's been willing to make money, going back to gun runners hundreds of years, it never stops. I mean, this is the history of arms writ new for the 21st century. They are tackling age-old questions about what people with power, money, and access to technologies that can expand their power, whether it's gunpowder or knives, or in this case, monitoring centers stocked with the latest scanning technology. There's always going to be a market for that.
Vernon, thanks very much for talking with us.
Thanks a lot.